This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Duncan, we're about to talk to a very special guest, a rapper named Tedashii, who you know from such songs as this. You just gotta live.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is really good.
How do you think we should start this?
Welcome to the show. Now it's time for me to drop my flow. I'm Sam Soliloquy. I drop mad rhymes lyrically. Sometimes it's a metaphor, but oftentimes a simile. Dropping beats so neat you could wash your feet. Song so tight he might give you a fright. It's Tedashii.
I'm not gonna lie, lest I make a little baby cry. This guy's so fly, he's like a dove in the sky. Sublime limes, making lyrical crimes. Tedashii, he's so fantastic. He's performing lyrical gymnastics.
What?
Is that all right?
Hey, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Tedashii, it's so good to have you on the line. Do you think we could feature on one of your tracks?
I love it, bro. Listen, with that type of energy, even if you don't get a verse, you got to have something. It's amazing. That was crazy.
Man, listen, we've been a big fan of the song. Can you tell us a little bit about the story behind it?
Definitely. So I wrote the song, Gotta Live. And I just felt like it was a good song, but was going to have a particular aim. And then the label got a hold of it, and they heard it and was like, wait, no, this is way bigger than you thought it'd be. Like, we need to do more with it. Is there a guy or that you would want to sing on it that has a voice that fits the particular lane? And I was like, I got the perfect guy. I met Jordan back in 2016 at the K-Love Fan Awards in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. That was our first time to meet. And literally, I'm in the crowd, in the audience, listening to him perform. And I feel like he stole the show. Like, it was, when the song was amazing. The way they rocked it was perfect. And so I've worked my way backstage and went and found him and was like, yo, man, I'm a fan. Like, instantly, that was amazing. And he was like, oh man, I love your stuff too. Like, I performed earlier in the show. So he was like, I love your stuff. I love what you do. And I was like, well, someday, bro, it's got to happen. We need to work. And he was like, I'm with it. I mean it. I don't just say it. If you got something, bro, I'm down. And so instantly I thought of him and tracked him down and reconnected with him and wanted to see if he wanted to be a part of it. And he did. And he killed it, bro. It was amazing.
Man, I feel like, though, Jordan Felice is bottling artisanal honey somewhere outside of Nashville, and you're from the streets of Texas. I mean, it seems like an unusual marriage.
It is. It very much so is. Like, I definitely come from a different world than Jordan, but the one thing that we both kind of connected on was the music. Not just the heart behind the music, but even the passion that we both share for the music we do. Jordan is definitely somebody who is a talented musician who's almost this person who's like, his heart comes through every song. Like, most of the music I hear from him, it's very much so a reflection of who he is, not just an agenda or not just this idea of what he believes only, but it flows from a real place. And that's definitely how I'm wired. I'm like, man, that might be a great thing to do, but it's not true to who I am, so I'm not doing it. And so, knowing that, it just kind of hit it. We kind of hit it off right at the bat.
Tedashii, on the track, as with many of your tracks, there's a lot of woo on there. Have you trademarked the woo?
Hey, that is a great question. I literally said to somebody, you know, like in hip hop, people have tags, and that's basically their calling card, their signature on the song. And so I was like, I don't really have a tag, like DJ Khaled is going to jump on and he's going to say, we the best. And it's like, oh, I actually know who that is. Or he says his name. And all the way to like a Trip Lee, artist on the label with me, he says, yes, sir, all the time on a song.
He does.
And he says it in this really, he says it in a really cool way, which at one point I was like, man, you're an adult now. Y'all know if you should say yes, sir, every time. But he's like, no, it's my thing. That's what I do. And so he says, yes, sir, at the beginning of every song, every verse. And I was like, what's my thing? And I literally, somebody in the studio was like, that's your thing. You need to trademark that because that's you. Man, every time you do a song. And I was like, I don't even think about it. I just do it. That's weird. So
I feel like you're the the Chuck D of the 116 crew. It's like, you know what? Yes, we need some bassy
I'll
rap.
Take that, baby.
We need some bass rap. Yeah, get Tadashi in here.
Come on, I'll take that, man. That's what's up.
Look, you know, you've been pulling out a lot of singles. Are we going to see an album from you sometime soon, Tadashi?
Man, yes, that is coming. I am working toward that, definitely. So when I first started jumping back into recording again after moving to Atlanta and kind of getting settled and figuring out life, I was like, man, I would love just to throw out a project. That'd be great. But I want to serve people, but I also want to do something that's true to what I am and my heart. And so this campaign of Never Fold, everything I post, everything I say, all we do online, social media, music, whatever, has hashtag Never Fold, because that was the heartbeat behind it. It was like, man, after everything that I've gone through, everything that I've experienced in life and in my career, to still be here is a testament to God's grace and my heartbeat behind this idea of Never Fold, like to always persevere. And so I really wanted to do a campaign around it, and that's kind of what we did, starting with the manifesto that we put out and then running through the singles that we're doing right now. But yeah, an album is coming.
Man, can we push in on that a little bit? Because, I mean, you've got a beautiful family now, three children, but there was that tragedy in your life where you lost a child. And, you know, almost 2 years ago, I walked through that with my dad, and it really rocked my faith, you know?
Wow.
But dads are meant to die before their children. Do you know? It's not typically the other way around. Here you are in that situation, you know, you're involved at church, you're doing these incredible projects. How did your faith kind of help you through that process, man?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I definitely agree with that same sentiment. It rocked my faith. It pushed me to the limits of everything, man. I don't mean it in a cliche way, because sometimes it's like a dead horse. We just beat it over and over. But this sentiment of Job, in the sense of, man, I related to him in so many ways, was real for me. Because it's something that you don't expect, and it's something that you can't really quite describe to people so they can relate to it. And what I realized, like Job and his friends, I myself, along with all of my people around me, we were supposing things about each other and about God. And really, God just had to step in and show us who he was. And so that was that moment for me when God said, okay, let me remind you, let me encourage you, let me make it clear who I am and how I am, so you see once and for all. That was when the journey of freedom and health started to really happen, man. And if it took Job 42 chapters to get it, it's taken me that long, so to speak. Like, it's taken that amount of time. There wasn't fast forward button or quick relief button when it came to processing and walking in grief and mourning and feeling the weight of that type of suffering. So I'd say to anybody, man, there's still a real struggle at times that you can have, even as a man or a woman of faith, but the God of that faith is just as real. He's just as willing to walk with you. And one of the key images that I realized was, throughout the book of Job, all of the ups and downs and conversations and pains and hurts and all of the things that he had to endure, the Lord was still there, even at the end. That was one of the key moments for me. I'm like, I'm waiting for Job to be vindicated here. But instead, God gives him himself. And I'm like, oh, that was a part of it. Like, God's still a part of this man's story. This wasn't a sign of God being done with him. If anything, it drew him closer to the Lord. So,
love that.
Tadashi, imagine that you're going into a rap battle. Mm-hmm. You've made it to the finals.
Yeah.
You're going to face off against Lecrae or Andy Mineo. Who would you choose?
I would choose both, to be honest.
You got to beat him.
I would choose. Yeah, I would. So what I would do is I would first go at Lecrae, because you know we've been knowing each other for a lot longer than I've known Andy.
Yeah.
I would go at Lecrae first, and I would demolish him in such a way that Andy would then go, "That's how you do your friends? Like, if that's how you do people that you've known that long, what are you then going to do to me?" And then it'd be the most epic ever. Like, have you ever heard? Like, I know, like, so me, Cray, all of us, we can really freestyle. We can literally on the spot come up with rhymes and just have fun doing it.
Well, man, I saw Minio on Sway, and he was absolutely devastating. Yeah.
Bruh, he's one of the best I've ever heard. Like, when everybody was like, "Yo, Andy killed it on Sway," I'm over here like, "Oh, that was not, like, it was amazing, but that was nothing." I've seen him literally on the spot run circles around people and be blown away. I'm like, "Yo, this is crazy." So yeah, Andy would be the, because if I went at Andy all like one-on-one, like, let me just get at Andy, then it would just kind of be like this stalemate, or like I would get crushed. Be like, what just happened? Or if I just went at Lecrae only, then it'd be like, everybody knows the relationship. It's like, Lecrae let Tadashi win. Oh, man, Tadashi was being nice. You know, so, but if I get at Cray, crush him, and then Andy steps up, I got a mental advantage over everybody now.
So good.
Strategy out here.
That's good, because
you thought this through.
I had you smashing Trip Lee in the earlier rounds. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a given. It's one of those moments where I realized like Trip is gonna have to try to keep up at the end of the day. He's just gonna have to try, but it ain't gonna happen. So.
He's like, "Yes, sir."
Don't tell him I said that. I'm telling him I said that though.
Tadashi, you are not only an amazing artist, but you've also done a lot of radio work as well in your time as a radio announcer, probably longer than we have done. What's your best advice you've heard about hosting a radio show?
Yeah. So two things that helped me a lot. One was this guy who had been doing radio for 45 years, on-air personality. He was like, take a picture of a crowd or of a group of people that you know, and put it on the top of your microphone or in the window in front of you or on the desk, on the speaker above you, or when you're doing your show, change the desktop. Do something so you realize you're talking to people, not one person. Because, you know, in radio, you speak like verbally, your words have to be communicated as if you're only talking to one person. But in reality, you're talking to more than one person. So a lot of people can become monotone or just kind of very, very removed from the idea that multiple people are listening in a moment where it feels conversational with just one. So I would put this picture up and I just talk to this group of people while keeping in mind that that everything's really singular and individual focused. And then the other thing was to fight to find my voice. Oftentimes, I wanted to sound like the cool guy who did the movie trailers, or I wanted to sound like the funny guy who I grew up hearing on the radio. And they were like, "Man, people can smell, they can sense someone being fake a mile away." And so be exactly who you are, find your voice, even if it takes a few times of fumbling, that's more tolerable than someone just pretending to be someone else. And I was like, okay, so authenticity matters. And so those are the two things that really helped me.
That's awesome, man. Now, I'm just going to talk really quickly about the Christian music scene for a minute. Does it annoy you that Chris Tomlin writes 50 words for a song and he goes quadruple platinum, and there's the 116 crew writing veritable essays in every single one of their songs, not nearly as successful as Chris Tomlin?
Yeah. Do you want me to beef with Chris right now? Chris is from Texas, so I already got love for him. He's also written some of the largest songs ever.
Yeah.
But in to his credit, there's a level of like, man, there's got to be some sort of way Chris can just like teach me how he did that.
Yeah.
Because there's a level of where I'm like, I want to know how to do that so I can do it for myself. I don't necessarily want to stop Chris from doing what he does. Just include me, Chris. Just do that. And then everybody's happy. I'll teach you how to rap if you teach me how to sing and go out and do 50-word songs that people will go out and play slash buy over and over and over.
Well, I mean, one of the things I appreciate about this kind of modern generation of rappers, and, you know, I'm kind of thinking you, Lecrae, Tripp, all the guys, Sho Baraka, is that there's a real theological depth to the songs you were writing. I was listening to, what is it, Below Heaven on the way?
Below Paradise.
Below
mate.
Paradise, sorry, mate.
You've got to get the album, right.
Yeah, sorry. You've got to get the album name right. I was listening to it on the way home.
Yeah.
But you were dealing with really deep, big stuff, you know, loss and injustice, and you know, like there's a real theological depth that you do in each of your songs. Is that what kind of inspires you to write that way and rap that way?
Yeah. So as I said before, at least mentioned earlier, like I learned authenticity is what really hits home. And the best way to be authentic is to kind of talk about where I come from and what I'm dealing with. So if you look at all of my work from the first record, the first CD I ever put out, the first album I ever did, to the latest single, Gotta Live, with Jordan, all of those communicate this idea of where I was in that moment. Oftentimes I tell people in interviews and even in conversation, like, the beauty of what people have been able to do with us, maybe unlike other artists, because we do communicate from a real place and we are open and transparent about what we're dealing with. You get to see the journey firsthand. Like, we're not hiding anything. When Lecrae starts to do an album like Rebel, and then from there does tons of mixtapes, and then does Anomaly, and then comes back with All Things Work Together, you're like, oh, this is your journey. This is not this will be great. The marketing team had an idea. You want to write some songs around it. It's like, no, this is my real life. This is what I'm really dealing with, what I'm really going through. And other people are as well. And they're able to see that we know, relate to it, and we see them in it. And so with Gotta Live, I saw people who were definitely heartbroken in the world when it came to injustice and poverty and just everyday life when it came to loss and people not having even the basic needs that they would need to live, to provide for their children. And still there's this expectation that you got to keep going. Mm. Even when I lost, when I lost my son Chase, there was care and empathy and condolences, but still this expectation of, but bro, you gotta go, you gotta keep going. It doesn't stop here. You got to keep going. And so that's where Gotta Live came from for me, because I wanted to communicate to people like, I see you. I see you having to bury your father or your mother, like me, who passed from cancer, or my little sister who was supposed to outlive me, and now she's not here anymore. I see you having to deal with insecurity and shaming from others and doubt and your self-worth, and yet you've got to live this life. And so I'm saying, man, you can. Not that you have to. God's giving you the ability that you can. And so I want to change the narrative, because I had to do it in my own life.
I love that, man.
Tadashi, it's been amazing to talk to you, and we're about to hear the song Gotta Live. Is there anything other than the woo that we should be listening out for as we hit play on the track?
Yes. So definitely, I think, listen to Jordan, as he is one of the best voices that we have right now in the game. Come on and just encourage you instantly with this truth that no matter what happens, the life that you have is worth living. And then the verses just come in with a heart, man, of saying, I am not done. I'm here and I'm going to keep being here. And then just have fun with it. To me, this is a summer anthem, bro. Like, just in, wherever you are, early in the morning, 6 a.m., 5 a.m., or 5 p.m., 6 p.m., like, turn it up loud and have fun, man.
All right, love we're going to do that right now. Tadashi, thanks for joining us on Hope Breakfast.
Hey, no doubt. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.